I greet you in the name of the true and ever-living God, who redeemed, blessed, and sanctified us. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God, my rock and my salvation. This morning, as I ask you to pray with me, I ask you, let us remember our brothers and sisters in New Zealand. Remember their families and the loved ones who have lost. They are all brothers in the eyes of God. Today, rather than I do the prayer which I normally have written out, I ask you to turn to page 815 in your Book of Common Prayer, and we'll pray number 3 for the human family, and we will do it together. 815 in your Book of Common Prayer. You're with me?
Yep.
Let us pray, O God. You have made us in your own image and redeemed us through Jesus, your Son. Look with compassion on the whole human family. Take away the arrogance and hatred which affect our hearts. Break down the walls that separate us. Unite us in bonds of love and work through our struggle and confusion to accomplish your purpose on earth, that in our good time, all nations and races may serve you in harmony around your heavenly throne, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. A blessed good morning, my St. Sebastian family.
Good morning.
I love you and I love you more. Knowing God and serving God is loving Him. A blessed St. Patrick's Day to all my Irish family and those who pretended to be Irish. But we see St. Patrick as the man who brought ministry to Ireland and England.
Southern England.
Not the one that we will see later in everything that is green. But you also celebrate all the goodness of life. As I always tell you, I'm from the old school. The first thing I was taught was how to write, and penmanship was something I loved very much. Computers have come around, and penmanship is no longer a skill that many people have, but it's a skill I love. So I never type my sermons. I'm a better thinker as I write than when I type, because my hand and brain coincides a lot easier than when I'm typing. But I have an excellent typist at home, my wonderful wife. On Thursday night, she starts typing my sermon, and I begin my sermon by, "Go and tell that fox to listen to me." She says, "Hun, who are you speaking about? Are you mad at the church?" I says, "Hun, read the gospel. Jesus was letting us all know, and he was letting Herod, and he was letting the Pharisees know that he was about the ministry of saving and loving the people of this earth. Quite amazing that the Pharisees was who was going to tell him that Herod was going to kill him. Of all people, the Pharisees. But as I always tell you, God used ordinary people to do extraordinary things. So if he was going to use the Pharisees, that was okay. But Jesus' message was not here. He knew his face was set on Jerusalem because that's where he would die on the cross for you and for me. But yes, he knew he had to get there. But his work was not finished. Just as your work and my work is not finished, as St. Paul tells the people of Philippi, you're worried about earthly things. Building treasures here on earth means absolutely nothing. You want to build treasures in heaven. But the good things you do here on earth is what makes your treasures in heaven greater. Your address that you love so much is temporary. We will all eventually leave this earth and prayerfully in our works, because of how we live our life and how we are as Christians, will take us to that heavenly treasure. Quite amazing that you look at how things evolve. Yesterday morning, I was here at 9:30, and I had a baptism at 9:30. So we had new life, accepting Christ in the form of a baby. And yes, they had parents and godparents, so we all know that at that age, the children do not know what is right or wrong. That's why we in the Anglican Episcopal Church have parents and godparents to guide you through until you get to the age to be responsible for yourself. As I said, raise the children in a way they should grow, and they will not forget. They will not forget who God is. But in that wonderful celebration of baptism, to see the kids in the water as you give thanks, thanksgiving for the water through baptism. We brought the child up, we light the candle of light for Jesus' light in the world, and they were all happy and they left. An hour later, we had a service of thanksgiving for our brother Clay, who was here in the youth of this church. But we were now going from new birth to eternal transition, all in an hour. But what was the amazing part was, he was in the form of ashes. And it tells you, as in the Ash Wednesday service tells you, so you are dust, and to dust you shall return. And it becomes more evident to me when I grew up where you always would see a coffin, and you would see a body and it would go into the ground. And somewhere, because it might have been a loved one, you hope that some night or some morning you would wake up and that person would show up again. But boy, when you put them in the ground as dust, you're pretty much sure that they're not coming back. It is as final as it can be. That's why there are many people who does not like cremation. But it's a reminder to us of this earthly life we are living. What you're building up as treasures is only temporary. What you will get in that eternal life that St. Paul was telling the people of Philippi. And St. Paul was in prison. So he didn't need to be that clear to the people of Philippi. But he knows that that message of Jesus Christ had to continue. And so I am chosen today as your shepherd to bring that message to you, the love of Christ. I'll divert a minute. On Wednesday, we had our first Lenten program. And Canon David, 24 people showed up. We didn't even have enough chairs. We had chairs, but we didn't have them set up. And Canon David took us through from our early Christian life to where we are now. And all this showing the persecution that we Christians have always fought to be where we are. Sometimes I believe that we don't really appreciate Jesus. Because some of the things that we allow to happen in our lives, we don't see the love that he has for us. Boy, do I see it. I see it every day here at St. Sebastian by the Sea. I see how we have now started this program for Nana's house, and that little cart every Sunday is filled up and keep going back to those. That's the love of Christ. That's the work. You see the memo, you see the email coming up of Walt's service at the ministry. That's the love of Christ. John the Baptist had just been beheaded. Jesus Christ knew they were coming for him, but that was not danger for him. He knew his word was set on us. He knew what he was about, his Father's business. The Pharisees of all people gave him the message. And sometimes there's someone who will give you a message that you least expect. You'll be like, why is that person saying something to me? But as I said to you, God used ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Our ministry, mine and your ministry, is about what we do. As Christians, we are often challenged in our faith. Jesus was here for the marginalized. We are followers. We know our journey. Many of us, when we take the decision to the call of ministry, we are often challenged. Many people say, that boy John Gary is going in it for the money. I had a good business before and maybe believed I could have again. But I know it's not for the money. It's the love I have for Jesus Christ. The love for the call that St. Sebastian has called me to be your shepherd. The fun to be here at 6:30 in the morning for our 8 o'clock mass, just to be anxious to share God's ministry with you. Just like St. Paul, when he got the call, it says he was the person who was persecuting Christians. But St. Paul was the one who knew that he saw the face of Jesus and knew what his ministry was about. It was a call that Archbishop Desmond Tutu, as a kid, was met by a bishop, and he found the love of Jesus Christ. But after he became archbishop, he didn't say, well, I meet the pinnacle. I'm now the archbishop. He fought for apartheid. He risked his life. Today, we are better because of those people who have gone and fought for us. The Episcopal Church we have, we never believe it, but one of the most instrumental parts of the destruction of apartheid was the Episcopal Church in the U.S. It was a strong church, but what it had at that time, it had money. South Africa in those days could only trade with the riches of jewels and gold and diamonds. But you can't trade diamonds across the market. You could only trade cash. And the Episcopal Church had it in the major banks in America. If the Episcopal Church had pulled its money, then the economy would crash. And South Africa could only trade by getting cash. As long as the banks refused to give them cash, they listened. Archbishop Desmond Tutu's secretary I met while I was in South Africa said that she was the secretary to the Archbishop before Archbishop Desmond Tutu, and they said to her, you should quit this job because it's going to be rough and your life is going to be in danger being the secretary to Archbishop. But she said in a prayerful message, God says, you are where I would like you to be. And she said for the next 4 or 5 years as she worked with Archbishop Desmond Tutu, she saw the transformation of God in her life and in the lives of people. She said it wasn't the money that made the difference, it was the praise that made the difference. My brothers and sisters, when we live in a world that we have the struggles, we physically may not be able to do things we would like to do, but we can get on our knees and we can pray, and we can pray earnestly without ceasing. Funny, I wrote this sermon on Thursday morning, and I wrote of a priest named Father Michael Lasley. He was a New Zealand priest who had left New Zealand as a young priest to go to Zimbabwe and South Africa to fight apartheid. In his apartment one day, he got a knock on the door and he was given mail. As he sat down to open the mail, it exploded and there were 2 bombs. He lost both his hands and 1 eye. And he was doing it for Christ. He said on his way to the hospital, he was so sure he was going to die, but he saw the face of Jesus Christ say, you will be fine, my brother. This will just be a sign to make your ministry grow even bigger. He has continued to this day to be a Christian, to speak of persecution that goes through our Christians all over the world and to countries. I had the pleasure to meet him at General Theological Seminary, and then to share dinner with him in South Africa. But I have to share the interesting part for me was we were all at dinner and they had passed around, and I don't know, South Africa has many great wines. And we were passing around the bottles of wine, and there was a glass of wine in front for the last week. And I said, "Sir, is he going to have this glass of wine?" "Boy, but with Jesus, all things are possible." Those mechanical hands he had, he knew how to clip that stem of the wine and share the toast with us. So even although you may have something going against you, Jesus will always find a way to keep you strong and grounded in his faith. My brothers, today, the world that we see and the world we worry about will not always be like this. But we have to hold strong and pray. Herod was looking for Jesus, but Jesus was not ready to go. He knew his earthly work was not complete. His face was set on Jerusalem. Your address, my brothers and sisters, here on this earth is temporary. The work we do will make sure our address at that eternal home be permanent. As Paul told the people of Philippi, "I am telling you this morning is, let us face our eyes at Jerusalem and the prize." The direction that we are taking is pleasing to you, my brothers and sisters, that we follow the way of Christ. As we did our commandments and our laws, be good to your brother, be good to your sister, be good to your neighbor. Love God. Love God. As Jesus said, "Go tell that fox, bring it on. But I have the armor of Jesus Christ." And that's why we say daily yes to Jesus. And I further tell you this morning, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest." Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna. Amen.
Amen. Amen.